Good morning. I am so overjoyed to see so many people here this morning. When I woke up and saw that rain, I said, oh, I know what the excuses are going to be. But you made it. I made it. And you made it. Thank God. You good? Okay. So let's exchange some good energy. Breathe with me. Breathe in. Close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Life is rushing, streaming, pouring in on all sides of us. You have a coffee mug in your lap. Receive the life. Allow your cup to run over. Now turn your cup upside down. Life's blessings are still flowing, but you are not receiving them. In essence, you interrupt the flow. You block your blessings. Now turn your cup with the opening facing up and feel the love streaming and rushing in on all sides. Your cup runneth over. Amen. So when they ask you for the title of your talk, it's usually a couple of months in advance. And at that time, I was feeling a bit overwhelmed with other stuff going on in my life. And I told April, put down, my cup runneth over. That sounds good. But I was thinking of it at that point in terms of being overwhelmed. I was feeling like there were a lot of requests put on me, a lot of tugging this way and that way, and I was trying to keep up. So I looked up overwhelmed in the dictionary, because sometimes we say things and we don't even realize what we keep repeating. And one of the first definition said, bury or drown beneath a huge mass. And I said, I don't feel that. I'm not buried. The second definition said, defeat completely. And I knew I am not defeated. The third one resonated with me. Give too much of a thing to someone or inundate them. So you can be inundated with good stuff and with some not so good stuff. But your challenge is to carry on, is to deal with it. And in that moment, I said, well, Christine, you know about the cup overflowing. Get a bigger cup if you need to. So whatever we choose, be it falsehood or truth, is what we will experience. I accept myself as God created me, my highest, most loving self that allows me to choose. I am perfect, whole, and complete. I am God's vision. I am God's vision of me. James Allen was a British philosophical writer known for his inspirational books and poetry, and as a pioneer of the self-help movement. His best-known work, As a Man Thinketh, has been mass-produced since its publication in 1903. The first time I went to hear Eric Butterworth at Lincoln Center, my friend bought that booklet for me. And I thought, oh, is this all Unity is about, this little thing? Got it. And I read the booklet on the way home, about an hour on the subway. It's a small booklet, and as I said, I read it in its entirety. That was 1980, and I'm still reading it and rereading it today. As a Man Thinketh has some very basic fundamental teachings that are not made, unity is not made from that, but it works in conjunction with unity. And so I want to share some of those fundamentals that I work with on a regular basis. Circumstance does not make the woman, it reveals her to herself. The mind is like a garden. It is cultivated or allowed to run wild. And I've had the opportunity to do both. Sometimes you are really focused and you're working on yourself and you're in line or in alignment. And then sometimes you let your mind run wild. And I think you know what happens when you let your mind run wild. It's not good things. Do you take time to study, to know thyself, and till your own soil, the soil of your mind? Do you study yourself and learn what works for you and what doesn't work? This process requires deep reflection, and it's not something that you do in an afternoon. One of the things that I do is nourish myself with good books, good people, affirmations. I come here to classes during the week and occasionally on the weekends. And so those are things that can help you to nourish yourself. One of the books that I'm working with right now is a mini book by Thich Nhat Hanh called, and he's a Buddhist monk and peace advocate. The book is called, the essay is called Sensory Food. And he writes, another source of nourishment is sensory impressions, what we consume with our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. When we read a magazine, we consume. When we watch a television program, we consume. Whatever we consume affects our body and mind. If we consume toxic magazine articles, movies, or video games, they will feed our craving, our anger, and our fear. If we set aside time each day to be in a peaceful environment, to walk in nature, or even just to look at a flower or the sky, then that beauty will penetrate and feed our love and our joy. So our thinking and what we consume is a vital indicator of how we look at life. And our thinking draws certain circumstances to us. Now, thought does have an effect on your health and body. The body is actually the servant of the mind. Many times we think of it the other way around. Some of you were around when my body experienced a stroke. But more importantly, you were here when I was released from the rehab center. I was confined to my house and I was calling everybody. I had to get around in either a wheelchair or use a walker. They took my driver's license and I was basically home. Now, you may think that's an opportunity to rest and read all the books I've accumulated. No. That's when I got a master's degree in complaining. I think the people I knew started looking at caller ID and saying, oh no, it's her. Let it go to voicemail. I actually anticipated the weekly visit from Meals on Wheels, and I really did not like the food they were bringing. But I soon learned that watching TV all day long was not my cup of tea. Whining and complaining does not promote healing. According to James Allen, strong, pure, and happy thoughts build up the body in vigor and grace. Habits of thought will produce their own effects. Accepting what is. Now, this I came across in my mindfulness reading, and it applied to that time in my life, and it actually applies to every moment of my life. Acceptance doesn't, by any stretch of the imagination, mean passive resignation. Quite the opposite. It takes a huge amount of fortitude and motivation to accept what is, especially when you don't like it. And then work mindfully as best you can with the circumstances you find yourself in and with the resources at your disposal to be in wise relationship to what is and to mitigate or change what can be changed. And that comes from Arriving at Your Own Door by Jon Kabat-Zinn. At that time, I decided to change my mind about the situation. I said, "Self, they carried you out of here on a stretcher. We don't need to experience that again. So let's work on healing." I made the decision to choose better thoughts. I made up my mind that I was going to walk back in here without a walker. In Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, she mentions that every thought we think is creating our future. So I had to really work with that program to raise my vibration and take myself to a new place. I found that consistent, impeccable action will strengthen your shortcomings. If you are aware of your limitations and you are willing to change. Now, changing your mind and doing something new sounds very exciting. It's not easy. I worked with the Louise Hay affirmation, "I am willing to change," I worked with it for many days before I was able to affect a significant change in my life. It allowed me to surrender and accept what I was dealing with. It allows you to surrender to what is possible in your life. So your thought crystallizes into habits, and habit solidifies into circumstance. Habits, we know what they are. We think we know what they are. What would happen if you decided to brush your teeth once a week? Cavities, gum disease, probably lose some teeth prematurely. Well, we need to develop better habits. You may have heard when you wake every morning, you should RPM. Heard that? Rise, pee, and meditate. You may get up and head to the gym or simply do a morning stretch. Whatever it is, we all wake up and go through a morning routine. I implore you to include spiritual practice in that routine. These same principles apply to strengthening your mind. Do something daily to sharpen, strengthen your mind. Memory games are very helpful in this arena. Allen goes on to discuss thought as it is linked to purpose. He says that aimlessness is a vice. Each morning, set your intention for that which you aspire to. Think big picture. Some of you have a book inside of you. I've heard about it. Are you taking steps to get toward it, to get closer to it? What steps can you take today to move yourself along the path to that which you aspire? Set up an appointment with a writing coach. Write one page. Create a plan. If you wake up and think you deserve a day on the sofa with a good book, do that. Make a decision. But whatever decision you make, be clear about your purpose and follow through. Think thoughts that will support that purpose. You consciously dedicate your thoughts to yourself. Now, when we look at achievement, sometimes people will say, "Ooh, she sure is lucky," or "How did he get that?" You know. But really, in achievement, it's not about luck. It's your thought factor and your mind. So by now, some of you are thinking, this lesson would be good for my daughter-in-law. Well, let that thought pass. You can only help people at the level at which they exist. You should not try to manipulate or coerce someone else to change. None but himself can alter his condition. So what is the highest vision for yourself? Just think about that a second. It's said that 80% of success is showing up. Show up for yourself every day. That means taking a step every day toward your vision. I recall writing in my mastermind journal a few years ago a goal that I wanted to be able to prepare gourmet meals. Well, I still can't. I did ask one person who I know is a good cook to come over and work with me and let's do some training or practice, if you will. But if I was serious about that goal, I would have bought one cookbook. I would have done more than boil eggs every day. I would have taken steps toward my vision, and I didn't. So that showed me that that was not a vision that I was serious about. The last concept that Alan talks about is serenity. He says that calmness of mind is one of the beautiful jewels of wisdom. Strong, calm people are always loved and revered. And I think we all know somebody who fits that description. I suggest you develop self-control and maintain a flow, a certain calm flow to your life. Self-control, discipline. These are big words that many run from. I say start where you are and build your self-control muscle. Stop overreacting to every single situation. Everything could have been perfect, and then my socks fell down into my shoes this morning. I was not happy, but no need to overreact. Pause and take a breath before you respond to a request that would normally have you exploding. Start small. Today, choose water over soft drinks. You know it's better for you, because it's going to get more challenging. Self-control will allow you to choose how you can construct meaning from your experiences, because you can't plan everything. Obstacles will occur. Stuff will happen. But in order to love who you are, to really love who you are, you can't hate the experiences that you're confronted with. Recently, a friend of mine traveled to Egypt, and she brought me back a small silver charm. I thought, wow, when I travel, I don't buy anybody anything except a picture. I was really touched as she explained the meaning of the charm. In that moment, while I was appreciative of the gift, I did not feel worthy of such a delicate object. I needed to get a chain to hold the charm. So while I was in Las Vegas, I played the quarter slot machine, and I actually hit the jackpot for $62. I immediately stopped playing and set that $62 aside so I could buy a chain. I went to the jewelry store and bought the chain to carry this charm. Come Sunday, I thought I would see my friend, So I got in front of the bathroom mirror and put the necklace on. The charm slips off the chain, bounces in the sink, and literally disappears. I'm moving everything on my sink. Nobody else has a lot of stuff on their sink. I'm moving stuff around. I go to the waste basket. I dump the waste basket on the floor. I'm sorting through the trash to see if it fell in the trash. I'm looking in all corners of the bathroom. Nothing. The charm disappeared. I was pretty upset, but it was Sunday, and I knew I had to go to church. I was working with the kids. I said, just go in, be positive. So my first thought was panic. My second thought, however, was, Christine, what vibration are you sending out right now? Is it love or fear? Calm down. God is in charge and will reveal the location of the charm. I knew how to call on my source for help. I said, get yourself back into alignment. You will find it, or you won't. In my Eckhart Tolle face, I'm saying, is that so? I went to church and I told one person about this situation, expecting her to say, let's pray about it. I see you're upset, let's pray. She took a deep breath and said, are you listening? Yes. Get a plumber and have him check the drain. So I put a towel in the sink when I got home just to remind myself not to turn the water on. And the next day, I did find someone to come over, and we were all prepared to dissect my bathroom, tools everywhere. And as we are starting to take apart the sink, I looked in the trash can again, and the charm was hooked onto the weave of the basket. I don't know how I didn't see it the first time. It might not have been there when I looked the first time. But in that moment, I was so appreciative and happy that this irreplaceable charm was found. So what's the lesson? Pray, affirm that your good will come, but do what is yours to do to make the situation happen. I could have sat in my chair and prayed every day to walk. But until I started actually getting up and walking to the mailbox, and my neighbor would say, I see you, go, one more step, keep going, a few more steps. And every day, it's exactly what I did. I walked a few more steps, I passed a few more houses, until I was able to say, I'm leaving this walker at home. I moved to a cane for a little while, and then I said, I don't like this cane either. And so I keep the cane in the trunk, though. So as the Quakers say, when you pray, move your feet. Now, my spiritual practices reinforce my belief system. I'm watching what I consume. I'm watching what I give out. One of the things that I'll share with you that I do every day is called the Book of Positive Aspects. It's actually something that I learned through Abraham and Esther Hicks. It's a journal exercise, but it's not about goal setting. Book of Positive Aspects helps you create a book about the things that you think are positive in your life, the things that you appreciate in your life. So an aspect is a particular part or feature of something. We all have pretty busy lives. You may be very appreciative of your car or your spouse or the meals that you prepare. This process has helped me maintain a balance of positive feelings. Every day, I take one idea, one thing that I'm appreciative of, and I write that across the top of the page. Then I spend about 15 minutes just journaling about the good pieces, the good points of that particular aspect. If you do this every day, you will find that you'll suddenly appreciate some things that you thought weren't so great. You'll appreciate the ability to go into the kitchen and unload the dishwasher because you have a dishwasher. You'll start to raise your own vibration as you journal and learn to appreciate the good things that are in your life. So I would welcome you and challenge you to try that process. Be the master of your mind, or it shall rule you. What you think about is what you will bring about into your life. You must see yourself as who you are and who you want to become. So think thoughts of success and go confidently in the direction of your dreams and know that you have what it takes. Believe in yourself because you are capable of more than you know. And we're going to close with Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Namaste.